morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Our song shall rise. Let's pray together as we look to the Lord this morning, please. Father King Solomon concluded the temple, and he prayed that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. And then he challenged the people and he said, let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in all his statutes and to keep his commandment as at this day. Lord, cause us not only to hear your word, but to accomplish what your word tells us to do. It is easy to know. It is easy to remember. But our old nature resists to do thy will. And we pray, O Father, as children of the living God, that as we hear again this morning another special beatitude for our life, that you will cause us to do exactly what you said. Lord, we pray that this service will be not only good to us, but to all those who listen via the radio and the internet, those who listen later on in cassettes and CDs and all kinds of devices in which the sermon is proclaimed and the service is proclaimed. We thank you, Lord, for the choir, for the congregation singing. We know the praises unto God lift up our heart and focus our life in the reality of a mighty God. Lord, we pray for our beloved missionaries, for Fred and Carol Lewis as he's close to MRI and a final decision as he lay down in a bed here in America. For Carol and Ruth Knott, right there in Seville, Spain. For Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain. For David and Denise Rode in Papua, in New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala and Central America. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center in Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association, for Daniel Midian and Miriam Lacey in the Motorsport Ministry, as Danny soon will have the Oregon race ahead. And Father, for Martha Ferretti as she ministers to the drug people down in Argentina. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to accomplish the work of the gospel, not only here, but actually physically in other parts of the world. We thank you that you have here in our church dedicated people who make all kinds of efforts so that Sunday will be a beautiful and wonderful time of worshiping and listening to the power of that divine word. Lord, as I study for the sermon this morning, I was impressed in how you require from us nothing less than perfect holiness. And so, Father, help us to receive thy word with gladness and help me to stay away from my own, and so that the people may hear your word and your word only. Lord, thank you for the support that we have for the ministry, and we pray that you bless the offering and bless the giving. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
God measures men by a standard divine, for he sees underneath every outward design. He looks past possessions and costly attire. He studies the heart, every thought and judge by how tall we may stand, or how much we possess, or the rank we command. His gaze goes far deeper to things that endure. He honors the man who keeps his heart pure, for he
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, you can turn to page 563. We will be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to live a sinless life under the law and to have made it possible for us who believe on him to be declared righteous. We again confess that we are sinners saved by grace alone. We pray for strength to keep your commandments, for our desire, Father, is to please you. We thank you that for now we have seen Jesus in the scriptures and have therefore seen you by faith. We pray now for our teacher and our pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless his teaching from your word to our ears, that we may understand and practice those things which are pleasing to you. We pray for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD also, And if any do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that they too might believe the gospel and be saved from wrath in the day of judgment. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
This sir, I am going to use the lapel microphone so you can prompt her up a little bit so the voice can be heard. All right? Before we study the word this morning, I want to say how happy we are that we have some graduates that will be here tonight, and will be a special occasion as they speak for 10 to 20 minutes about their life and their success and so on. Is that right? No, it's me that I have to speak. All right, relax. Don't worry and do not miss it, all right? We want to honor you. Please turn your Bible again to the Blessed Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5. We have been in the Beatitudes for just a good time. And by the way, before I go into this, in the back, the screen, there is a place where you can see our reward, actually. We have taken a gift offering on benevolence every month. Six, 7 months ago, we took an offering for these gentlemen that we don't know in Argentina who want to work and doesn't have the means to go to work, and the children have to miss their time and push their father to places. And we bought a special chair, was built especially for him in Argentina, and he sent us the picture and a letter to us thanking us, and now he's back to work and in business, supporting his family and supporting the ministry of the church. And it's a motorized vehicle. It's right here in the back. It's good to see it. He's so happy. The family want to thank all of us and the church in Lodi who paid the other half and was built just exactly for what he wanted. This chair goes up in the streets and up on the curves, and a very special chair. And he's working, he said, and earning the money for his family and serving the Lord in his church. He's very faithful. I want to thank you again for your wonderful offering on benevolence. Back to the Beatitudes, we know that the first Beatitude deal with the blessedness of emptiness, when you are stand before God with no arguments. The second Beatitude deal with the issue of brokenness. You see yourself as you are in view of God. You have God in front of you, and then you're standing before him. And then the mirror of God reveals who you are. You are broken before God. We all have faced that. Then the third beatitude, the blessedness of selflessness, when you think of others rather than yourself. The fourth beatitude, the blessedness of openness, when you are honest before God and before those who are around you. The fifth beatitude, the blessedness of tenderness, because we have received mercy from God, and that mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, from the past to the future. Now we are obligated before God to have mercy with others. Now I want to call your attention today to verse 6 of Matthew 5, which is the blessedness of holiness. Very serious, very serious beatitude. Most of the failures of Christianity is because of this failure to this beatitude. Blessed are they, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, page 696. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, page 696. The Apostle Paul said this, "For this is the will of God." 1 Thessalonians 4:3. This is the will of God, your sanctification. Your sanctification. Your holiness. No chance to something else. If you move your Bible now to Hebrews 12 and verse 14, page 710, Hebrews 12 and verse 14, page 710, the Bible said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Very, very serious statement, and very, very, people take life when they are Christian very lightly, and God doesn't. God takes life very seriously. So in this beatitude, we have one of the greatest statements found in the Word of God concerning the life of holiness. God says, blessed are the pure in heart. So it is important then that we should understand what the Savior meant when he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they, then God added another tremendous statement, for they shall see God. So may I suggest that we will study the issue of holiness under three different headings. Number one, the consciousness of a pure heart. You have a conscience. The Bible said in Romans that God put in your head a consciousness, and in that consciousness he dropped a chip who said, there is a God. So that's what people are trying to fight so hard to deny there is a God, because God put a chip to say there is a God, and they don't know how to block it. And that computer chip comes once in a while, and then you get desperate, and you want to cut it off, but it's there. So the consciousness of a pure heart. Then the constancy of a pure heart. When you have a heart which is pure, you're a constant believer. A constant believer. And then thirdly, the consequence of a pure heart. So we're going to talk about the consciousness of a pure heart, the constancy of a pure heart, and then the consequence of a pure heart. Just follow me. Number one, the consciousness of a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, said God in verse 8. The Bible teaches that God is more interested in what we are than in what we do. The Bible teaches that God is more interested in what we are than in what we do. In fact, is that what we are determines how we live and how we serve. You know that? What we are determines how faithful are you. Faithfulness doesn't come from anywhere. It comes from the heart. And what you are is exactly determines what you do. If the heart is wrong, then the life is wrong. On the other hand, if the heart is pure, the life is pure. See, that's against psychology, who says the environment determines who you are. No, sir. No, the environment. Your heart. You determine who you are and what you do. That's very important. On a closer examination, it is evident that the expression pure in heart has reference to two things. A personal awareness of purity and a practical awareness of purity. Like the Apostle Paul, we cannot teach theology unless we put practical things on this, because just the head alone, God doesn't want it. God wants the feet to follow. So let's look on it. A personal awareness of purity. In the Bible, the heart stands for the center of the human personality, involving the intellectual, the emotional, the volitional life of any individual. Look with me in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, page 398. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, page 398. I say it again. In the Bible, when you see the word heart, that stands for the center of the human personality, involving the intellectual, the emotional, the volitional, and any life of any individual. Proverbs 23:7 said, "For as he is mankind, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." You are, you said, you talk, you move your life as your heart is. There is no avoiding in this. That is exactly what it is. This is our personal responsibility, then, not to grieve the Holy Spirit. If you look in your Bible now in the New Testament, in Ephesians 4, and in verse 30, page 690, Ephesians 4 and verse 30, page 690, you will see the responsibility that comes upon all of us Christians. The Bible says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption." Means God, once God save you, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit, and no one in this universe can take that seal away. But the important part is this. The verse 30 in Ephesians 4 comes in a long paragraph who starts in verse 24, who deals with all kinds of sin, this sin, the other sin, the other sin. And the apostle is saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Why? Because when we disobey God, grieve the Holy Spirit, and our responsibility is to please God and to please what the Holy Spirit must said. So we must consciously be pure in mind, will, and emotions. We must consciously be pure in mind. It's not something we cannot do. It's something that we can do. If you think I cannot do it, you never make it. You never make it. Let me bring you an illustration that I read in one of those beautiful parts of an Oxford University. From the old England. A young boy was told that he could plant a garden if he would water it, weed it, and care for it. And he promised gladly, "I will do it." Using seed his mother had saved from the years before, he planted his garden. Now listen to this. The package where he got the seed said tomatoes. And he waited for the shoot to come up. But petunias came up instead of tomatoes. And so he went to his mother and he said, "What's wrong?" The confusion was clear up when his mother noticed that the envelope she has saved from last year was gone, the one she had put the petunia seeds in. So the boy argued that he had planted tomatoes, but his mother assured him that it wasn't what was in the outside of the envelope that counted, was what was inside that made the difference. The envelope said outside tomatoes, but inside were petunia seeds. And so, therefore, was not what is outside that really matter, is what is inside. My brother and my sister, what is inside is what will soon be apparent to all. Either two things in life, worldliness or true Christian behavior. You cannot avoid it. What is inside of you is going to come up. God is going to put you in a tough situation. He's going to put the torques on you. He's going to squeeze you against the corner. And what come up after that he squeezes you is who you are.
worldliness of Christianity. That is a personal awareness of purity. You have to be sure. You have to be sure that your conscience is pure. Number two, the practical awareness of purity. If you look in Proverbs again in chapter 4 and in verse 23, page 389, page 389 in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the apostle, the Solomon says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Watch yourself, watch your person, watch your emotions, watch your intellect, watch your desires, because out of it come the issues of life. So that forced me to go to England again and go to the Medical Journal of Oxford. And the Medical Journal remind us that the heart is the primary organ of the blood's motion in any animal body. From this organ, all the arteries arise, and in it, all the veins terminate. By its alternative dilatation and contraction, the blood is received from the veins and returned through the arteries, by which means the circulation is carried on and the life is preserved in the body of each one of us. Boy, I thought in the similar way, the spiritual heart fills the same important place and function. It is control point of all decisions of life. Our actions have a value only as in as much as they flow from our hearts. Only if our central control is pure, then our life will be pure. It is nothing to do because we live in San Francisco, or we live in Milan, Italy, or we live in any place in Germany. My friend, it is the heart that is the trouble. It is not because I go to a bad school or a good school that I'm bad. It is not because it's a bad environment in my work or a good environment in my work. They're all bad, my brother. They're all sinful. But that doesn't affect you because it is the heart that needs to be in control. That is what we have to check at all times. Our heart motivations, our heart emotions, our heart will. Why do I want what I want? And correct it quickly as we compare with the Bible. As I was sharing my life with Brother Greg, every Friday we try to get together and talk and share our life and trying to squeeze in his mind certain things of the ministry that he needs to expect it. We both agree that what we all need in Bethel Baptist Church is that we, the men of the church, need to be more in the Word. We will put a program soon in October to make available for you to be more in the Word. Because when the Word of God overflows through our person, there is a change in our life. There is a change in our life. So we have the consciousness of a pure heart. We need to be personally aware, are you pure or not pure? And the practical awareness, I am doing what God wants, which is holy or not. Number two, the constancy of a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. This is a statement of constancy. Number one, the heart must be daily cleansed. Will you turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, page 717. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Our heart need to be daily cleansed. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we keep on walking in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us. That's the advantage of the Christian. He doesn't have to go to a priest to be clean. He doesn't have to go to anybody to be cleansed. He goes to heaven in the name of Jesus, and he claimed that the blood that saved him will wash away his sin before the presence of God daily. Secondly, not only the heart must be daily cleansed, but the word must be daily applied. This is why Greg and I believe that if every man in this church will spend a half hour a day in the Word of God, our church will change day and life. Day and life. You will never recognize Bethel Baptist Church if every man of this church will read with the intensity and with the motivation the Word of God for just half hour a day. The Word of God must be daily applied. Turn your Bible to Psalm 119, a psalm of the Word of God, at verse 9, page 379. Psalm 119, and verse 9, page 379. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to his word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to his word. Is that too complicated? How many things will be avoided in life if we live by the word of God? Imagine a husband who loves his wife as Christ loved the church. If a husband will love his wife, as Ephesians 5 says, as Christ loved the church, the lawyers in America will go in bankruptcy. There will be no divorce. I never heard a woman in 34 years of ministry telling me, I'm going to divorce my husband because he cares for me. No one say that. Oh, I want to divorce my husband because he loved me too much. I never heard that. See, it is not America. It is not the lawyers. It is the heart of man who is in trouble. So the heart must be cleansed daily. The word must be daily applied. And the Holy Spirit must be at work in you. You hear that? The Holy Spirit must be at work in you. There was a church that was very terrible in the Bible. The church is the church of Corinth. When I read Corinth, and with all respect to the Filipino people, come to my mind our church, who has a large number of Filipino, and somebody told me in a derogative way, do you have Filipinos? Like, I have a bad congregation. By the way, I never noticed if you are Filipino or American or Japanese or Korean. I never noticed that. You're a child of God. And that God gave me that gift. I don't classify you. But the church of Corinth, they have bad people on it. But Paul was proud of the church of Corinth. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit has changed them. Let me show it to you. You know, we have these problems in San Francisco, in Argentina, in everywhere with these homosexual, stupid people. And we say, what can we do to change them? No, we don't have to do anything. It has been done what we need to be doing. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11, please. Page 673. What can be done to change the homosexual community? Nothing. Everything that needs to be done is already made, already done. 1 Corinthians 6:11, page 673. The Paul making a commentary on the church, he says, as such were some of you. Now, some of you who are members of Corinth Church, Bethel Baptist Church of Corinth, some of you were like this. But now ye are washed. Ye are sanctified. Ye are justified. in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Now, I want to show you what kind of people were those people, because it is very important that we know this. Very, very important. Verse 10 said, no thief, no covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, no extortionists shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 9. Know ye not the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, no idolaters, no adulterers, no effeminate, no abuser of themselves with mankind, no thieves, no covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, no extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, said the scripture. So, the constancy of a pure heart is that the Holy Spirit becomes at work in you. Once you apply the prayer to God daily, once you apply the Word of God to you daily, then the Holy Spirit is at work in you, and I don't have to tell you change. The Holy Spirit tell you change. I will never tell you what to do. I will never judge you, but I pray for you. And I pray intensively. And I watch the Holy Spirit at work. And the Holy Spirit will change you. There is no way that will leave you in the same place that he found you. So we have the consciousness of a pure heart, the constancy of a pure heart. Let's see the consequence of a pure heart. Who threw me out when I read this? Because it's almost a contradiction in the Bible. Look at it again. In Matthew 5 and in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Look at what the Bible said. Because they shall see God. Wait a minute. If you read John's Gospel, you recall in chapter 1, it said, no man can see God at any time. You know, that complicated? I said to myself, wait a minute, Jesus. In John chapter 1, John reveals and says, no man can see God at any time. And what did Jesus say here? Blessed are the pure in heart, because they shall see God. Well, there is a present time to see God, and there is a future time, and I want to deal with that. Here's the present blessing, the present blessing of seeing God. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 7, page 713. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, page 713. We're going to read verse 7 and 8. That the trial of your faith, said the Apostle Peter, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having no sin, we love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can I see Christ, which I love, which I rejoice today? How can I see the majestic God that we have? Well, Romans 1:20 give us one. There are about 7 or 8 references, and I cannot use it because I know I only have 35 minutes for you. But I give you one reference in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, page 662. How can you see God? And just to be sure, this morning I walked to these two little trees here that we planted with Dr. McCormack on the right side years and years ago when they were nothing. And now they are three times my size to see this verse. Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him, of Christ, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, which are being understood by the thing they are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Ladies and gentlemen, when the man who does the yard, or the people who do the yard here, there are three or four people. They come the time for pruning. Across my left here, there is a maple tree. That tree, I thought it was criminal. They cut that tree to the bare bone. You don't see any more. I mean, just the little stumps like this. And then month by month, I stand afar and I take pictures and pictures. And here's an sprue, and here's this and this. And now you go, when you go out and take a look, and in 1 month, we had to cut it because the branches will be over the roof. What a coincidence. No coincidence. Every year the same. Every year the same. I saw a squirrel the other day, and I think Candace came to help me, and we saw a baby squirrel. And I don't know anything. I like to kick things, you know. So I saw this thing. I thought it was dead. And I said, all right, here you go. Ping, swing, and land. And the guy stayed there. When nobody was there, I think Candace said, where's the squirrel? He took off when nobody was there. You see, nature is not just like this. God has created all things. And you can see God in nature. Nature is not God. But you can see God in nature, in his design and in his creation. And so I can say, blessed are the pure in heart, because they see God. Yes, we who believe in God, when we see a tree, when we see a flower, watch the flowers on the sides of the church. They are majestic, like they are in splendor and white and yellow and purple inside. I mean, you look into that and you petrify. You say, who made this beauty? God. Look at the roses on my right side, on the side of the church. That's what I like it. See, how are you going to make a building in the church? Just a simple building like this, but a lot of yards with gardens so that I can see the flowers. This is what God has made beautiful. Blessed are the pure in the heart, because they shall see God. See, the unbelievers, they see a flower, they see a tree, and they don't know where they came from. They care less about it. They have no attraction to God's creation because they don't have a pure heart. But if they have a pure heart, you're attracted to it. We can see Christ and his work with us. If you turn to Colossians 1:27, page 694, what's the best in the life of a Christian? What's the best? Here's the answer. Colossians 1:27. To whom God will make known that is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here is a mystery for the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You and I have Christ in our heart, and those who do not have Christ in our heart is a mystery for them. How can people have Christ in their heart? And I understand that. I was there too. I was 15, 16 years old, and my father trained me to study and to be intelligent, but not to be dumb by religion. Because he did not understand. He did not understand what Christ in you is. But Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, you know what is your hope? It's not your gift. It's not what your ministry is. It's Christ in you. Christ in you is the greatest of all. So we can see Christ's glory all around us. In nature, we can see Christ's glory in all his work within us. And we can see Christ in his word before us. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, in page 680, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, page 680, the Bible said, to whom God will make known what is the riches or the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. I'm reading wrong. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. See, we can see Christ in each other. I can see how God is changing you. You can see how God is changing me. And as we change and our character is modified and our will is modified and our emotions are modified and we become closer and closer to the image of Christ, then we can see Christ in us. What is the future blessing? That's the present blessing. I says, I will see God. Yes, I will see God in nature. I will see God within me, and I will see God within you. But what's the future blessing? The future blessing is in Revelation 1:7, which destroys the idea that Christ will come as a mystery. In Revelation 1:7, page 721, the last book of the Bible, says, Behold, he cometh with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindred of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. You see that? When Christ comes the second time, every eye shall see him. Will the earth be flat then so that everybody can see it? Because if he comes to the United States, there are people on the other side of the globe that then cannot see it. You know, the engineer always thinking, always looking on it. When I was in Argentina and I read that verse, I said, will he come to Argentina? Because Argentina is just diametrical to Japan. How the Japanese will see him, if I see him, the Japanese cannot see him. But that's something we don't understand. But one thing I know, that when Christ comes the second time, every eye shall see him. And the pure in the heart will be not afraid at all. They will be rejoicing. So what is the conclusion? Pure in heart, a conscience pure in heart. Constancy. A heart which is pure is constant. Serve the Lord. His emotions are under control. His will is under control. Everything is God in his life. And then the consequence of a pure heart. A life that is closer and closer and closer to the Lord Jesus. Are you sure, Pastor, we can do that? Here's the answer. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, page, I think it's 646, I think. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Look at what the apostle said. Having these promises, dearly beloved, you know what the promises is? All the Old Testament. He had the scrolls of the Old Testament. And he said, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And look at the words that follow. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The word perfecting is the Greek word accomplishing holiness. What's the secret? In the fear of God. I read that and I said, I had no excuse. I had no excuse to be holy as he is holy. I will never achieve it. I will never accomplish 100%, but I would not be found no trying. No trying. And that's what we need. We need to be able to say, yes, Lord, we will never be in the perfection of Jesus, but I will try until you take me to heaven to modify my will, to modify my emotions, to modify my character, according to Jesus. And the only way you will do that is by reading daily the Word of God. May I counsel you over and over again to read the book of Proverbs every day. Today, chapter 12. Have you read chapter 12? I read it. I took 14 notes on chapter 12. 14 things that they are vital in the heart of a man with a pure heart. I wish I had the time to share it with you. Just by reading, I look at it and I know this. I wrote it. It's a long chapter, but I wrote 14 things that I need from this and get to you. And if you do that every month, you finally read Proverbs 12 times a year. And then if you live 10 years, you live it 120 times you read Proverbs. You think that that will not affect you, will protect you, will give you direction, will give you a life just like the Word of God. That's what this world needs to see. The church is not bad. No. The church is weak. Why? Bad pastors. No. The church is weak because the congregation of the church is not reading the Word of God. And when the word of God goes into the hearts of people, we become pure in the heart. And when we become pure in the heart, then we are like Jesus. And then the businessman see Jesus in us. And the neighbors see Jesus in us. They don't want it, but they will see it. And the church will be back. July, I'm going to speak to you on the power of God. And you will be scared to death of what God requires from each of us. Thank you, Father, that in this beatitude, there was no roses and garden to walk, but it's a beatitude so serious, so serious. Sometimes, Lord, we let the world come into our life, and we do not take seriously the word of the living God. Oh, Father, help me as a pastor. Help our deacons to be holy before you. Help our congregation to be holy before you. And then the world will see the rest of the story. We praise your name forevermore. Amen.
Lead me, Lord. Lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain. Be
that's so beautiful. Will you stand, please, for the benediction? Thank you very much. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your Holy Spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.